Good morning. How are you guys doing today? All right. Well, the topic or the title for our message today is called Freedom to Run Our Race. Freedom to Run Our Race. Now, in life, as we run our race, I don't know about you, but as I'm running and going through life, there are some times when I feel like I'm stuck at different seasons, or I feel like I'm being weighed down or held back. You know, we all go through seasons or situations in our lives that cause us during our race in life to feel like we're just not getting ahead. You know, we might label those as weights in our lives that are holding us down. We might label those as chains if we really feel like we're just trapped by certain things in life. But I got good news for us. God does not desire for us to run our race held back, held down from the weights and the issues and situations in life that we face. Amen. Now, we know that we might be going through things. We're not going to go through life and never face some things. But you know what? You don't have to let that weigh you down and prevent you from doing all the things that God has called you to do. Amen. So let's pray as we get started today, and let's dive into trusting the Lord to help us navigate life and set us free from those weights. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our opportunity to be in your house today, Lord God. We thank you most of all, Lord God, that we have the opportunity to be in your presence, to hear from your word. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is living and it's active. Lord God, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we're trusting, Lord, through your word and through this message today, that you'll help each and every one of us have the freedom to run our race. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody who agreed said, amen, amen. All right, well, we're going to start out with this foundational verse for our time together today. And it's found in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. So if you could turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Our ushers do have Bibles. And so if you didn't bring one with you and you want to follow along, just lift up your hand. And they'd love to place one in your hands. And so let's take a look at this verse together. I think they're going to have it up on the screen there. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Everybody say weight. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race. Everybody say the race. That is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I love this verse, and I love this verse because it paints this analogy that's really simple for all of us to relate to, and that's this illustration that our lives are like a race that we run. And there's a couple lines in this verse that I want to highlight for us. The first is, it says, the race that is set before us. All right, what do we learn about when we read that phrase, this race is set before us? Well, it simply just means that the race of our lives has been predetermined. In other words, there's a course that has already been designed for you to run in life. And every course for every person in this place is a little bit different from one another. It's unique to you. And God is the one who is, Jesus said, he's the author and the finisher of our race. All right, so as we look at the race in our lives, when we recognize that we didn't write the course for that race, we didn't design the course for that race, but God did, and he's predetermined what that would be, then that's something that we can be aware of as we go through our race in life. Now, we might ask ourselves, why would I want to run that race versus running my own race? Well, the reason for that is found in Jeremiah 29:11. Many of us might know this verse, but it says, for I know the plans, or you could say, I know the course that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good. Everybody say good. They are plans for good, a course for good and not for disaster. And that course is designed to give you a future and a hope. You know, God has a course for your life, and it is a good course for your life. It's a good plan for your life. That plan is a good plan, and it's to give you a future and a hope for your life. And how many know that every single person deep down wants to know that there's a plan for their lives, there's a purpose, and that your life matters? Amen? So whether you're a Christian or not, that's something that God put inside of you when he made you. Now, if we look back at Hebrews 12 again, there's another phrase in there that we're going to spend most of our time talking about. It says that as we run our race, it says to lay aside every weight. Now, I don't know about you, but we talked about that at the very beginning. When we run our race and we experience those weights and those areas of our lives that kind of hold us back, the Bible tells us here that we are to set those weights aside. Now, we might know that, we might read that, but the question is how do we do that? Because we still oftentimes find ourselves trapped by those weights, even though as much as we want to set them aside, we have difficulty doing that. So my word for you guys today, and I want you to be reminded of this throughout our whole time today, we're going to talk about those weights, but I want you to approach them with, I want to know what they are, and I want to know how to be set free from them. And I'm going to trust the Lord to help me set them aside. Because this is an encouraging word so that we can leave today knowing that we can live a life of freedom and set free from those weights. Amen? All right. So as we talk about these weights, the first one I want to identify is probably the most obvious weight. And that is the weight of sin. Now, you might be here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You might be living life on your own and running your course in life, and you've never decided to surrender your life to the Lord and make him Lord of your life. The reality is the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And so for you today, I want to encourage you, if you can confess your sins to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We see that found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And so I would encourage you, today at the end of the message, we're going to have an opportunity for those of you who are here today that have never made that decision to surrender your life to the Lord and allow him to take the weight of sin off of your life and allow you to enter into the race that he's designed for you to live. And so I want to encourage you with that today. Now, for many of us here that have made that decision to follow after Jesus Christ, we can go through life sometimes and we too can get weighted down by choosing the wrong things, by getting stuck in the weight of sin. Sometimes as Christians, we can get trapped by habitual sin and feel as though we're trapped in that. But you know what? The same promise is true for you. When you confess that to him, he's faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins. Amen. But he also encourages us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He says that no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will always make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it, that you will be able to set aside that weight in your life. Amen. So we know that the weight of sin is a huge issue if we're stuck in that and will cause us to be weighed down in life, and we can be set free from that. But today, I don't want to minimize that particular weight, but I really feel like we need to talk about some other ones in our lives that are less obvious. I'm going to talk about four weights today that I believe a lot of us sometimes can get stuck in, and we don't even know that we're stuck in that weight. And God wants to help you identify it, set you free from it, and live out all that he's called you to live. Amen? And so those four things, those weights that we're going to talk about, are the weight of control, the weight of comparison, the weight of complacency, and the weight of conformity. Control, comparison, complacency, and conformity. All right, so to help illustrate that, I want everyone to just imagine that they're at the starting line of a race that they're about to run. This is a race that you've prepared for. It's a race that obviously you've signed up for, you've trained for, you've been coached for, and you've got it on your calendar. You're going to show up there. And so you're starting now at that starting line of the race that you're planning to run. And for whatever reason, we'll talk about later, you decide, I've got to carry this bag of rocks with me on this race. All right. So you got this bag of rocks, get it all situated, and you're at the starting line, and you're lined up. Don't cheat. Don't go over that line. Okay, there it is. All right, the gun goes off, and you and a bunch of other people just start running your race. You take off. You're running. You're feeling pretty good. After a while, let's say it was a 10K that you chose. All right, Let me go back to this illustration first, okay? For some of you, you might think of a 10K. When you think of that, you might think of a 5K. Some of you might be thinking of running a marathon. Crazy. You know what's crazier? Some of you might be thinking of running a titanium. All right, probably nobody's thinking of that. You guys know what a titanium is? Is that what it's called? Titanium? Yeah. It's sort of like this insane triathlon, okay? You start out just a leisure 2.5 mile swim. After that, just to help you dry off, you jump on a bike. You bike 112 miles or so. I think that's what it is. I could be wrong, but over 100 miles. Then after that, you're like, you know what? I feel like I just need to be on the ground versus on my bike. So I'm just going to throw in a marathon at the end of that, 26.2 miles of running, all right? So there are crazy people in this world that do that. So maybe you're thinking of that, or maybe you're here thinking, no, when you said line up at the starting rate, I was thinking of running around the block, okay? So I don't know what your situation is, but imagine you're running. All right, so you're running with these rocks, and you're running along the way, and you've gotten started, and all of a sudden you're like, man, this is getting uncomfortable. So maybe if I just switch it to the other side. There we go. Transfer the weight for a little bit. That'll help. All right, so you're moving down the track and the course and running around all the curves and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, you're just like, I got this pain. I'm not pregnant. Okay, so, but, you know, you got this pain. I thought of retro. Have you guys ever seen? So, Megan, I think you're here, aren't you, somewhere when you did that? Okay, anyway. So you're running, and all of a sudden you realize this weight is on your back. And you're like, oh, boy, look at, there's a pretty rock I can add to my collection. Let me just pick up that weight, throw it in here. Awesome. Cool. I got it. Ooh, there's a twin. Look at that. That'll be perfect. I know where I can place that. All right, right on my shoulder again. All right, so let's get running again. And you're going, and say you're the one that thought of running a 10K. That's what you signed up for. You're thinking about getting to that finish line, but then you're like, I don't know if I can make that 10K. That's going to be tough. I'm nowhere close. I just got started, but I'm feeling this weight, and it's pulling me this way, and I got to fight against that. And you realize, you know what, maybe if I just do the 5K, maybe I'll just do the 5K, that'll be good. So, yeah, 5K, that's what I'm going to be focused on now. Get to the 5K finish line. So you're running, and man, again, it's just bearing you down over the course of time. Your legs start hurting, your whole body starts hurting. All right, a 5K is 3.1 miles. So now you're at the 2 mile mark only, 2.5 miles. And you're like, I cannot keep going. I gotta stop and step off this race. And you decide to step out of the race. But you tell yourself, you know what? I hadn't done 2 miles before. I got that far. I did my best. That's all anybody can really ask. You know what? I'm feeling pretty good because I gave it my best. People around us are telling you, great try. You did awesome. Don't be discouraged. You did it. And you're like, I know. I mean, I had these rocks. And so I just, you know, it's the best that I could do. And you're just celebrating that. But how many know that in our Christian walk, God never intended for you to settle for a 5K. He never intended for you to jump off the course. He never intended for you to go, man, I just did my best. We don't want our best. We want God's best. Amen. So I want to encourage us today, if God has decided in your life your finish line is a 10K, don't ever give up on pursuing that 10K. If God's word for you is, I've been supposed to running a marathon, finish that marathon. If you get off track, don't give up. Get back on track. But you know what? The only way you're going to do it is if you learn to set away those weights aside. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The other thing I want to point out as I was carrying these rocks is, you know what? This verse says to look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But can you see that progression of the finish is Jesus, the finish is the 10K? But what did I stop doing? I stopped focusing on that. I focused on something less. And eventually I started focusing on the weights that were holding me back. All right? So let's talk about these. Control, comparison, complacency, and conformity. The first one, control. This weight is our need to control how we run our race. As I think about that, I think about a runner who has a coach. A coach is there to help the runner learn techniques on how to run, how to train, how to practice, how to put together the right form as you run, depending on what your race is, how to establish good nutrition habits so that you're prepared for the race. They're there to help you learn how to hydrate yourself properly before your run and during your run. But if that runner decides to disregard what their coach is telling them, decides to do their own form. Ever seen anybody run like this? Okay. Okay. Sorry, I just had the picture in my head. So it's going to hinder you from being able to accomplish the full race that you intended to accomplish to meet your goal of whatever time you were going for. It will hold you back and weigh you down because you've chosen to control it yourself and disregard what your coach is telling you to do. Right? How many know that in life, as we walk our lives out as Christians, we oftentimes make decisions in our lives to do our own thing as opposed to trusting in God's word, trusting in the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance that we need. If we don't learn to get into God's word, hear from him, grow in our relationship with him and hear from the Holy Spirit, it's like carrying these weights through life and we know that we can't get to that finish line and we end up focusing on those instead of completing our race. So how do we recognize this? We recognize it when we look at our lives and we see we're not spending time with him. We don't feel as though we're hearing his voice speaking to us. Now, it's not an audible voice necessarily. I'm just saying that when you read God's word, when you hear his voice, you'll know it. Something will come alive on the inside because God's word is living and it's active. And the way that we can stay away from carrying this weight, or the way that we can learn how to set it aside, is when we become not just hearers of God's word, but doers of God's word. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." And it goes on to say that you're deceiving yourself. Man, if a runner is running and they're ignoring what their coach says, but they think that they're going to be able to be successful, they're going to learn the hard way along the way that they're not going to be able to accomplish everything. They're only deceiving themselves. God doesn't want that for you in your life. We need to learn how to let that weight be set aside, and we do that in God's word. Pastor Matt talked about the Getting a Grip on the Basics class we're offering next door. If you've never taken that, that's a great way to begin to learn what God's words and his promises are for you and help you be set free from carrying that weight of not knowing what God has for you and not knowing how to handle things in life. He will free you of that through his word. All right, the second weight is the weight of comparison. The weight of comparison. Now, you can break this into sort of two components, if you will. The first is somebody who's carrying this weight is somebody who's living their lives in comparison or in competition with other people. The second way you can look at this one is those who are living their lives with the desire to please other people. And how many know that they've fallen into that trap at different places in their lives, right? We all have fallen into that trap, picked up that weight in our lives. And the reason this happens a lot of times is because in our interactions with other people and what we're exposed to in terms of other people is oftentimes the best of their life, right? Social media has ramped that up dramatically. We see what I've heard said before, the highlight reels of other people's lives. And so it gives us the idea that we're not as great as they are, or look at how they're put together. Look at the way they did this. And it can be the simplest things or the big things in life, but we have this idea of comparison. And it either challenges us to compete against them, which is a trap, or it challenges us to feel as though we're a lot less than them and make us feel less about ourselves as a result. Now, this other idea of having to please other people, we fall into that trap a lot of times as well. You know, God has put inside of us when he made us this divinely implanted sense of purpose. But if we don't direct that towards the purpose God has for us and direct it towards the purpose other people have for us, then we're going to be carrying that weight of comparison and we're not going to be able to run the race that God has for us. Now, that divinely implanted sense of purpose was put there by God, but it's because he wants to stir you up to trust in him, to do some things that are greater than you can even imagine in your life and have you make an amazing impact. That's not just a temporal impact, it's eternal impact in your life and the lives of other people. Amen? All right, so how do we recognize it? we recognize that when we realize that we're running on the course that was designed for someone else. I talked about at the beginning, we have a course that's uniquely customized to the way that we were created, the way that God wired us, our personality, our interests, our desires. God wired us that way to fulfill a specific plan or purpose and run a certain course. But when we run on the course of somebody else, we might think we're heading in the right direction. But over the course of time, we'll realize this is not where I was supposed to be. There's frustration. There's challenges along the way. Things aren't happening the way you want. You'll feel disappointed about things. It isn't God's issue that we're doing that, but God wants to save us from that by telling us, no, I have your course for you. You want this course. It's good. It's full of a future and it's full of a hope. Set that weight aside of feeling like you got to run their race and help them finish it and get on the race that God called you to do. And you know, when you run your race, you will encourage everybody else to run their race. Amen. You can clap. I'm not opposed to that if you guys want to do that. All right. So how do you get set free from this? You choose to live for an audience of one. Choose every day to live for God. We might make that choice at one point in our lives, but over the course of time, if we don't choose that every day, then we fall into that trap and we throw that weight over our shoulders and we sort of try to live with that weight in our lives. But you got to choose that every day. You know, we got Facebook. I'll share this with you today. Like today, there's that temptation to go into Facebook between, hey, did I do a good job first service, right? And anybody like things? Are there comments? Like there's that temptation. But you know what? I don't want to hear a good job unless the Lord is doing things in people's hearts today that will change their lives. Okay? We face that. We all face that every day to some degree, but we got to learn to let go of that. Here's a good word I believe that the Lord shared with me, and I want to encourage you with it too, that our race is the only race that we are fully equipped to run and the only race that leads us to our finish line. That's the only way that we can only have confidence that we're fully equipped for the things we're called to do if we're doing the things we're called to do, right? So I encourage you with that today. Now, the third weight is the weight of complacency. And I think this is illustrated well in Luke chapter 12. If we can take a look at this parable that Jesus shared. Luke 12, beginning in verse 16. He said, a rich man had a fertile farm that produces fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough room to store all my wheat and all my goods. And I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God says to him, you fool. He calls him a fool. Why does he call him a fool? Well, because he's pursuing the things that the world is leading him to pursue. He's pursuing things that are temporal. He might be giving it, he might be great at it. But you know what? God doesn't want us to pursue things that are temporal. He wants us to pursue things that are eternal. He wants us to not fall in the flow of just getting trapped in complacency and following the life that the world is heading down, or the path or the course that the world is heading down, pursuing those temporal things. He wants us to be set apart to pursue the things that he's called us to pursue that will have an eternal impact in the lives of ourselves and others. Amen? So why do we carry it? Why do we carry this weight of complacency? Well, to be honest with you, it's because it seems like the easy way. It seems like it will help us not have to get outside our comfort zone. Okay? That's why we often find ourselves carrying that weight. The other reason is because for some reason we want to allow the world to make the decisions in our lives rather than facing the difficult decisions that we have to face in our lives. But you know what? Those difficult decisions aren't faced alone. Those decisions are faced with the Lord. And we have somebody who's already designed our race. You don't have to figure it out. When you seek after him, he'll reveal it to you. He'll help you make those tough decisions that ultimately you're graced to make so that you can follow God's path for your life. It doesn't have to be difficult. It's just a choice that we have to make. So how do we set this aside? Well, first of all, how do we recognize it in our lives? And sometimes this can be a hard truth to tell ourselves, but when we ask ourselves, how do other people see our lives, and do they see our lives different than the world's life? That's an indicator. If they don't see that, that's an indicator that we're trapped by this weight of complacency. There's something about that personal relationship with the Lord that's active, that's growing. There's something about living our lives without that weight. When we don't have that weight, we will live in a way that people will notice. We will face issues and challenges with a joy on the inside of us, with a confidence that this is a season. Man, I'm going to get onto the other side of this. I'm confident of that. I may not see how, I may not see when, but there's something that people will see on the inside of us that's different and wonder, what is that? That's us living without that weight of complacency. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. My encouragement to you, be willing to be foolish for God. All right? Don't be a fool, but be foolish for God. And what I mean is, we shared that verse earlier that God called somebody a fool. You're a fool in God's eyes when you pursue things of the world. You are foolish in the world's eyes when you follow things after God. Amen? That's the foolish we want to be, is foolish for God. Number four, weight, is the weight of conformity. Now, this weight can be described by a word that is institutionalized. It's a big word, right? Institutionalized. It's when somebody knows that there is a freedom outside of the weight that they're carrying. When somebody knows that God has more for them. When somebody knows that there are desires God put in their heart, but they're so held back because of fear and anxiety that they're scared to let go of it. They're scared of the unknown. That's somebody who's carrying that weight of conformity. And I think it's illustrated really well in a movie clip from the mid-90s. Has anybody heard of the movie Shawshank Redemption? Okay? Good movie. I cannot believe it's been that long. So it's hard to find a clip that wasn't all glitchy. Okay? It wasn't black and white, so that's safe. All right. So this movie Shawshank Redemption. I want to show you a video clip in just a second here. And it is a scene where two characters, one's name is Andy Dufresne, and the other character's name is Red. It's his nickname. These two are co-prisoners in a maximum security prison because they've been convicted of a serious crime of murder. All right? And so, I don't know why I had to say serious crime. It's pretty much obvious, all right? That's a pretty serious deal, all right? So, anyway. So they're having this discussion in the courtyard. Andy's been in prison for over 19 years. Red has been in prison, I think it was over 30 years at this point. Both of them have the possibility of parole. So they go before the parole board every, so many years and have an opportunity to potentially be released. All right, they've been in there for a long time. And they're discussing what life would be if they were ever to get out. And Andy asks Red, what would you do if you were ever to get out? Let's take a look at this clip and see how that conversation goes.
Do you think you'll ever get out of here?
Me?
Yeah. One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
I'll tell you where I'd go. To Watson Hill.
So what?
Zihuatanejo. It's in Mexico. A little place on the Pacific Ocean. You know what the Mexicans say about the Pacific?
No.
They say it has no memory. That's where I want to live the rest of my life. A warm place with no memory. Open up a little hotel right on the beach. Buy some worthless old boat and fix it up new. Take my guests out. Charter fishing.
Say what to nail.
place like that, I could use a man that knows how to get things.
I don't think I could make it on the outside, Andy. I've been in here most of my life. I'm an institutional man now. It's like Brooks was.
Well, you underestimate yourself.
I don't think so. In here, I'm the guy who can get things for you, sure, but outside, all you need is the Yellow Pages. Pacific Ocean. About to scare me to death, something that big.
Not me.
I don't think you ought to be doing this to yourself, Andy. It's just pipe dreams. I mean, Mexico is way down there, and you're in here, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, right. That's the way it is.
You know, I think that clip just kind of illustrates that we can have that perspective in our Christian walk sometimes. You know, we hear him say that Mexico is way down there, so far away, and we are way up here. Those things that God's put in your heart seem so far away, and you realize where you're at today, and you don't know how you can get from where you're at today to that place where God wants you to be in life. And so we get to that point where we call them pipe dreams. We don't know if we could even make it on the outside. We don't even know if we could make the journey that comes with trying to pursue what God's called you to do. You know, you can start to justify where you're at in life. You can look at your life and you say, you know, I got it pretty good here. I've established some relationships. Red had, you know, relationships with people there. He tells himself, you know, I'm the guy that has a reputation here. I'm the one who knows how to get things. I'm the one people come to and know how to get things. But he's in prison. He's still held back from living the freedom that he was created to live, right? So for you and I, let's not allow ourselves to become institutionalized. Let's not allow ourselves to make excuses for why we don't pursue the things God wants us to do. Let's trust the Lord and allow him to encourage us every day to say, don't give up on that dream. Don't give up on that desire. Don't give up on overcoming that. Don't give up on your loved ones. Don't give up on making a difference in the lives of other people. Let God raise those things up for you and choose never to become institutionalized in your Christian walk with the Lord. How do we recognize that we've picked up this weight? Well, one of the things is when we forget talking about or stop talking about those dreams and aspirations that we had at one point in our lives. When we stop having conversations, when we stop sharing that with people, when we stop entertaining, what would it look like if? That's one way. Another way is when other people start talking about their passions, their pursuits, their aspirations. They're all excited about it, but you get uncomfortable hearing other people's dreams and goals because it reminds you of that you in your life, you settled for less. You've already given up on yours. Man, don't allow yourself to be influenced negatively by that. Let that conversation inspire you, not hinder you. Amen? All right, so Romans 12:2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, we can choose to allow God to renew our minds and resurrect those things in our lives. You know, Pastor Beth did a great series recently called Reinvent. And it's all about resurrecting those things that God's put inside you to do and not settling for just skipping out on those and settling for the 5K or the run around the block as opposed to moving forward and finishing the race God intended for you to finish. There's another parable in Luke chapter 14 that I want to share with us real quickly. Luke 14, beginning in verse 16, Jesus shares about a certain man who gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent a servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. And then still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Verse 23, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And then verse 24, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. You know, God has prepared a supper for you and me. He's prepared a feast for you and me. He's prepared a race for you and me. He's prepared a finish line for you and me. And he's invited you to experience those, and it's our job to choose to accept that invitation. He wants us to finish our race, but we often find ourselves carrying that weight of conformity and making excuses for why we don't accept his invitation. But instead, let's choose to accept God's invitation for his goodness. It's a goodness that he wants to give you. It's good. Accept the invitation to experience the supper that God has prepared for you to experience in life. But it requires us to step out in faith. But you know what? We've heard this many times before. God is pleased by our faith in him. Okay? He's pleased in our faith in him, because he knows that when we have faith in him, we can run that race and we can finish it. And we will experience a joy that we can't describe unless we're walking in his presence. Amen. So as we wrap up, let me just share just a story of someone's life in the Bible. All right. The person's name is Saul. We're introduced to him as Saul in the Bible for the first time. And then over the course of his journey with the Lord, the Lord changes his name from Saul to Paul. So as I share those names, know that they're the same person. All right, so Saul in the Bible, when we're first introduced to him, he's the one that's persecuting the church. He's the one that's doing everything he can to prevent the good news of Jesus Christ from being spread on the earth. He's fighting, he's killing Christians, he's doing all the things to persecute them. And eventually he becomes Paul, who writes 2/3 of the New Testament, and ends up being the one that starts the churches, encourages the churches to grow and to become all that they've eventually come to be, even at this time and in this church, because he became the one who did that. But his first encounter with Jesus was as Saul, early on in the Bible. And it talks about this encounter that he has with Jesus, where Jesus grabbed his attention by a bright light that shone to the point where he caused him to fall down onto the ground. And because it was so dramatic, he knew that this was the Lord, this was Jesus that got his attention. And so he responds and says, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. That encounter with Jesus was so dramatic that it caused him to go blind. He lost his sight, and he ultimately lost his sight for 3 days. He was without sight. But at that moment, when Jesus told him to do that, he decided, I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do, and I'm going to go to the city where he told me to go. And because he was blind, he needed to be led by other people to be there. He didn't know what was around the next corner. He didn't know what the pathway was. Somebody had to lead him, but he chose to say, even if I can't see, I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. You know, that was his life as Saul, and eventually, like I said, he became Paul. You know, that was a starting point for his encounter with Jesus, but you know, he always carried that same philosophy in life and that decision in life to say, no matter what the Lord tells me to do, no matter if I don't see what's around the corner, no matter what dangers I might be facing that I don't know about, I'm going to just be obedient to what God's called me to do. I'm going to run the course that God's designed me to run, and I'm going to finish my race because I choose to do the very best that I can do to follow God's plan for my life. And at the end of his life, this is what he said as his life was coming to an end. He said in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That describes you and me. All of us who look forward to when Christ comes back. All of us who look forward to that day when we enter into Jesus' presence. He's talking about the fact that not only he can experience that, but you and I can experience that as well. But it requires us to say, I'm going to choose to run the course God has for me. I'm going to choose to let God help me set aside those weights so I can finish the race that I was called to finish. Amen? Amen. So don't let the weights of control, comparison, complacency, and conformity weigh you down and hold you back from running your race. Don't let them distract you from looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and the author and the finisher of our course. And let God help you walk in faith as you seek him every day to say, Lord, I choose to follow you. Now help me every day to follow after you.